everybody. Welcome to My First Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
So we got tagged in, well, we got tagged in a lot of Alpha Dom stuff since our last episode. And I have not sought this information out. The only thing I know about this man comes from what Christina told me last week and then the things that we have been tagged in on TikTok. But
and
you
thank you.
Absolutely
thank you.
Right. Christina, when you said that he just simply doesn't quit, he like doubles, triples, quadruples
can't stop,
down.
Won't stop.
This guy, there was one video in particular. I watched it and then I shared it with Christina and Cassie. And I watched it first with a look of just like abject horror on my face the whole time. And then I look at the screen because Christina
Our
and Cassie
faces.
Were probably like, I don't know, a minute behind me watching that video. I wish I had taken a picture because the identical looks of horror on your face as this man is talking about how he can make a woman come using
with
like
his nasty fingernail,
his nasty long fish hook fingernail. Like in a woman's
giving you a fucking pap schmear,
pretty much,
or the DJ hands across the clit, I think is what. And then he says, he goes on to say with his nasty fucking need a manicure fingernails that he can make a woman come just by dragging his nails across her back.
Listen, we just got done recording the shorty where I told a story about someone being covered in ants, which is awful.
Horrific.
But not as bad. Like, I got more of a visceral reaction thinking about
those
nails. I'd rather ants.
Ants. That guy and his nails running across my back.
Or ants.
Or ants.
Wait, do I have a shirt on?
I don't care.
And I'm away from him. I can get away from him really quickly. I need more information.
Listen, a shower might get rid of the ants, but like nothing will get rid of that memory.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Shower my brain.
I don't want that man or that type of man anywhere within back scratching distance of me.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Like disgusting. And also, no, you can't. Like he's like, I date Victoria's Secret models. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
I can make
no,
a woman come by dragging my hands, like fingernails along her spine. No, never in the history of life has that ever fucking happened. Stop
it. Where are the girls? Was a squirm and he thought. Yeah. Honestly, are they in the room with us right now?
Exactly. Honey,
I need one testimonial. I need one. Just one, and I'll believe you, okay?
This man has been getting dragged on the internet for like over a week. All of his videos have many hundreds of thousands of views and like 8 comments. So he is like going through and deleting like thousands of comments. He has to be. But I'm like, and of all the stitches I've seen, I've not seen one Victoria's Secret model being like, actually, it was really amazing. Like,
well, here's the thing. That man, I guarantee you, if he does, I just said that if he gave me one testimonial, I would believe him. That's not entirely true. Like, if I saw a testimonial that, like, that was true, that this man is
I'd
banging,
be like, where's the gun pointed
banging
from?
Banging tens and like making them come using his nasty fingernails on their back. I would be like, are you a wizard? That's what I would be like. I was like, do you have some kind
of Mr. Wizard
weird magical powers that's allowing this to happen? Because I in no way do I believe.
And why is
I
that always?
Sorry, when he did this kind of come here finger, like that
hook.
He was going to fuck you, get your fucking nasty. That is a fucking disease that you just gave me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a yeast infection.
I think I have a staph infection. Fuck a yeast infection. I think I have a staph infection inside
need
my
a
vagina.
Tetanus
now.
Shot. Honestly.
Oh my God. Like, what if he scratched you in there?
No.
Scary.
No. But seriously, though, why is it always men like that? That with their full chest
telling
out are like telling us what we like. And I'm like, you're wrong. We don't like that. I don't know a single person that likes the DJ on the clit. I don't know.
MC just, such and such.
Wiki. Nobody likes that. I just like what there's. I can think of a million things
on
that guys are like, oh yeah, girls really like the ABC. Do you remember
what?
That? Have you ever heard of that? That was like huge when I was younger. Everyone was like, maybe it was in some movie, an American Pie or something, where it's like, oh yeah, girls really like it when you do the ABCs when you're eating them out.
I'm
like,
no, that's right. Like, no, they tongue don't. On the clit.
I do remember that. So I do. I'm like, stupid. You are overthinking it.
Yeah,
you are overthinking it. That is, it's too much. Like, I'm not. If I'm paying attention to the fact that you're doing ABCs on my vag,
my clit is not a video game, sir.
No. What is it?
But
cheat
you know
code,
what, Christina.
It's up, exactly down, down,
up, down, left, right, left, right. A B. But and AB is your nipples.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Cassie.
The pinchy twist. What the fuck is that? Who are you? No. Get the fuck out of here with your pinchy twist.
No. Yeah. I hate that.
I want you, like, that's some, that, who raised you?
Honestly.
Yeah, who does like that? I mean, because, like, of course, like, the nipples are a sensitive area, and, like, different people like different things in bed, and so.
I love a good nipple play.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
it's not even a hard thing, but it's just it's
whenever
almost like you're grossed out to do
even. When you, like, I have seen that, too. I know exactly what you're talking about, Cassie. Like, for the listeners, like, we keep, like, doing this, like, this pinchy thing with our fingers, because I have seen that, and there is this belief that, like, you can, like, pinch and twist Ow. With your fingers, like, on someone's nipple, and, like, that is hot for some reason. I'm like, no, like, I would be interested in trying, like, maybe a nice set of, like, nipple clamps or something like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
yeah,
that seems like something that maybe potentially could feel good. But doing the
your
weird
finger and your thumb together like that makes mm-hmm. it feel very childish.
Yes.
There's something like very childish mm-hmm. about that Agreed. Movement that kind of grosses me out.
Yeah.
It's ick. And by the way, put it in your mouth. Motherfucking mouth.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
What are we doing with hands? Go other places. Yeah.
Be a multitasker.
Also, I'm going to say this. This is going to be very divisive.
Okay.
I have never... ever received a decent massage from a man.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I actually think I have to
not
agree
one that
with
I
you.
Have paid for.
I am
I mean, yeah. like by a professional masseuse.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. I know what you meant. I know what you meant. but thank you for clarifying.
Yes. I want to be
had to.
I'm literally right down the street from Reaper Bond. I've got to make it very clear that I'm not spending my time in the red light district getting men to rub me down.
Well, I mean, you have been there by yourself for a while.
People have needs. No judgment. We don't yuck anyone's yuck.
But I have to agree with you, Christina, and I'm loathe to agree with you because I love the idea of a nice massage, mm-hmm. I love the idea of, you know, being that kind of closeness in bed with someone else. Mm-hmm. But I have to agree with you that I have never experienced a good one from a man. Usually it hurts. Like,
exactly.
I'm like, what are
yes.
you doing?
Yes. It's not relaxing. It's actually
and
painful.
You don't know what you're doing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're like actually going to be causing
bruises.
Issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. You got actually be causing problems. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I have to tell a story because, so I've been in Germany and I don't speak German yet at all. And just for a handful of niceties, but we went down to the mission to do haircuts for like the homeless people and whatever. And we were waiting for them to get their hair shampooed. I was giving this one guy, you know, just kind of like rubbing his back, like kind of lightly, not too aggressively. And he's like, oh, not in a gross way, but he was like, you
like
know, kind of like making
around.
A lot of, yeah, kind of making mm-hmm. a lot of movements. And I was like, oh no, am I hurting him? I asked my coworker who speaks German. I was like, ask him. She was like, no, he loves it. He says it's great. But you could just tell like he's not used to having anybody touch him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. like these people don't get a lot of physical touch. And it just, you know, reminds you like, but even people in who aren't, you know, unhoused also. I mean, that's kind of the thing that makes hairdressing so special. This is my TED talk about hairdressing.
well, that I'm now going to ruin because I saw a TikTok this morning that I didn't even realize this is a thing. And I was like, oh, I got to put a pin in that and ask Cassie if that happens. It was a hairdresser that stitched a TikTok that was saying it was that Alpha Dom.
Again.
Oh, God.
She was saying he's the type of guy that would come in for a haircut and be like touching himself under the cape while you were shampooing his hair. And then all the disgusting comments were like, I didn't need to know that that was the thing that happens.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I know stories of this happening, yes. And it's never thankfully happened to me that I'm aware of, but I also do. I'm also in sometimes blissfully unaware until somebody brings something up to me after. I'm like, what? But yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I've heard many stories.
Working, I feel like hairdressing is one, because I used to work at a salon, and while I've never heard of that happening, definitely creepy guys, and you are put in a situation where, well, creepy people, I should just say that, but like you are put in a situation where you have to be in close proximity with them, and you know, there is like touching really close involved. Proximity. And then when I worked at that place, it was a salon and spa, so we also had like people there who gave massages, massage therapists. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's because of the nature of the profession, it has to leave the door open for some like really weird, inappropriate shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people don't know how to act.
Yeah.
That's the problem. People don't know how to act right. It's not because we put ourselves in a profession.
Oh, no. Not at all. Touches people.
But I think it's just one of those situations where
by the nature of the profession, like you're going to get creeps who come in there who are like, oh, like I need to be naked driver. And like a hot woman
and
gets
a bartender
to touch me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. You get creepy fucking people coming in there.
I used to have a guy who would always insist on having his arms out on the side. And I realized, and I would always try to move his like thing over so he wouldn't get hair on him. And I'm like, oh, he's keeping his arms out so he can like, when I walk by, he can rub against me.
That is so fucking disgusting. Yeah.
It's gross.
Disgusting. Ugh.
That I've had in real life.
Mm-hmm. Showering my brain this conversation.
the name of this episode is Shower My Brain.
Yes. But did he drag his fingernails across your spine?
Oh my God.
Gross.
Yeah. Ugh. And then last one, I would say something that I'm like, I don't know if guys are doing this because they think we like it. I definitely don't think that that's their reasoning behind it, but unsolicited dick pics.
Oh,
Are people still doing that? That feels so like 2018 to me. I'm like, are we still fucking sending dick pics to people who did not ask for them?
Let's be so fucking for real. Even if you want it, it's not. I had to clear out a lot of my photos because I was running out of space.
Oh.
And I was like, mm-hmm. got back into my single years and stuff and had a few.
Your dick pic folder?
It's shocking. It wasn't even a folder, dude. I had those things just raw dogging my fucking photo library.
You're so fucking brave. You just have them loose in your photo album. Like anybody scrolls back too far, they're like, ah.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting unsolicited dick pics.
But I'm just
a little
like,
for you, a little for me.
Even solicited, I'm just like, I mean, it's a dick. I mean, it's good, a, good for you. Dick.
I mean, I could see if it is part of sexting, like if it is something that like you are both like mutually doing. I could see it then because it's like you're already like ramped up. You're in a sexual place already, and it's like this is what you're doing to me, right? Like, so I'm like, okay, I appreciate that. However, I've never seen a penis and been like, wow, what a beauty. You know?
What a beauty.
Name of the folder. What a beauty.
Yes. Top 10 dicks. Yeah, no. I've never.
Look at these beauts.
Never. Like, they're, and like unless it has some kind of outstanding characteristic, they all look pretty much the same when they're up and ready to go, you know?
Right. I assume, and you know, same thing with just unsolicited vag photos. I can't imagine that's any better of a sitch.
Who does that?
I don't want to say it's worse, but I do want to say like I love my vagina. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Have you taken a picture of it and looked at it?
I don't know that she's like,
no,
I have not.
I have.
No. I don't know that she's photogenic like that.
That's, okay? What, that's like, where I'm at. I don't.
That's okay.
Listen.
Listen. You don't need to be. We don't. It. You don't need. She is great at her job. And like,
she's private. She's very private.
She's more of a behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
she's
like,
behind the camera.
Need, and I don't say that to disparage my own vagina. I would say that that's probably most like there. It's not. It's I'm not here to open wide and take a picture.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, no, it ain't going to be me.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I'm glad we're all the.
Look, if you disagree,
took a turn.
If you disagree, please write in. If you're like, no, first of all, my vagina is no fucking beautiful.
No pictures.
No pictures.
Don't
no
pictures. We're not soliciting.
Let us know.
I swear to God.
Wow. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. I am not soliciting photos. I just would like to know if you have a different opinion. If you're like, no, I've seen like truly a beautiful dick.
I swear to God.
You know, like, okay.
Or but my vat.
I'm
my
sorry.
My vat is a Vogue cover. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you're like, my vagina is gorgeous. I'm like, oh, wow. Good for
you. You're on Instagram messenger duty for the next month straight.
Damn it.
Grounded. Grounded.
You're grounded.
I did it to myself. I did it to myself. I'm sorry. You're right.
All right. Well, it is Aries season.
It is.
It's my birthday party month. And in honor of Aries season, I think our FMK needs to be
Aries
people. Aries-tastic. Yeah.
All right. I'm down for that.
Yeah,
I mean, we've done a lot of Aries in the past. I think like...
We have.
I think
I feel like I'm bringing a fresh one.
Yes, we'll bring a fresh one in. I think a lot of celebrities are fire signs. You know?
It's true.
Yeah. It's just like that big energy. So by nature, I think we get a lot of... Aries, like Pedro Pascal is an Aries, and we've, of course, done him a million times. But one that I don't think we have done, and she's a March Aries, and I would say, like, March Aries, April Aries, different vibes.
Similar, but different.
Well, that's all. I think that's all astrology. Yes.
That's people. I think people are similar, but different.
Cassie, please. People, similar, but different. Dude.
Well, we should make a t-shirt.
I just like,
that's the best thing we've said on the podcast ever.
No, if we're going to do a Cassie t-shirt, it's got to be like, I love cashews.
I love cashews.
I love cashews.
People.
Hashtag similar, no nut November. No.
Oh my god,
that's so stupid. Oh my god,
I love
but,
it.
But okay, March Aries, but also her Mercury and Venus are in Aries, and my Mercury is also in Aries.
Okay,
so communication is on that Aries jump. Oof. Amazing. Keira Knightley.
Okay, such a crush.
March 26th. I mean, she's
day after my mom's birthday.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Day after my dad's birthday.
Stunning. Yeah. Well, your dad's birthday is on March 25th. Have we had this conversation already?
Maybe. Probably.
My mom's birthday is March 25th.
Yes, we have had this conversation. It's coming back to me now. Okay. Jesus, yeah.
I must have an asthma attack.
I can't wait. Cassie is coming back in May. And I need us to record an episode in person because I think we're all itching for it. I think.
Yes.
That's part 100. Of the unhingedness of the top of this episode.
Exactly. I am picking Luke Evans, hot Welsh actor, like an actor too. He does like theater and everything.
He's definitely not interested in receiving photos of my vagina.
No.
No.
Or any vagina, because he is a gay man. But that man is fine.
He's so fine.
Yeah.
He is like, it's just, I was trying to describe him to Cassie because she was like, who? And I'm like, he is like the line cook version of Orlando Bloom, who is already slightly line cook.
But buffer than a line cook usually is, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
You've seen the bear.
So here's the thing. I also thought he was cute. And then I saw a picture where he looked like in his mouth, like a lot like my oldest brother. And I kind of gagged a little
That'll
bit.
That'll kill a lady.
It
kind of
ruined
right
him and, yeah. entirely
of
for
course.
Me.
As yeah. it should. That's the appropriate response.
Yeah. But my pick is the one and only Nathan Fillion.
Mm. Nathan mm-hmm. Fillion, I feel like Cassie, I feel like you and Nathan Fillion have similar energy. Know. Like he has like fun.
Labrador Retriever.
Fun, crazy Aries energy. Like Pedro Pascal, same. Like they like fun. Yeah. Fun Aries, like you yeah. are gonna get into some shit. Like
we
you
are
gonna go
face.
All night. You know what I mean?
We're the like, face that Pedro Pascal makes when they're high mm-hmm, driving mm-hmm. down the road. That's
exactly.
just us, our like, energy.
Yes. Because I feel like there are different types of Aries energy, right? Like there are like angry Aries energies. Like yeah, there's mm-hmm. like very intense Aries energies. And then there's like fun Aries. And I feel like
you're
there
exactly
is
right.
that category.
There is Labrador Retriever Aries, mm-hmm. and then there's Labrador Retriever who got bitten by an animal with rabies. Labrador Retriever
Aries. Sure.
Okay, so yeah. Luke Evans, Keira Knightley, Nathan Fillion. Ooh, this is actually going to be quite difficult.
I think it's
for me.
Hard.
I know exactly hard. What I'm going to do. I have no question. I'm marrying
well,
Nathan Fillion.
You had to get rid of Luke Evans, though, because
I got
he,
to.
So,
and by the way, I'm not going to kill him because we're friends, yeah. obviously.
Duh. Best buds.
Best buds. And I am. Yeah, I'm definitely going to marry Nathan Fillion. Mm-hmm. I mean, just I can imagine how fun our life would be.
Yeah,
it would. It would be fun. One or both of you might end up in jail, not for anything like
for sure.
like nefarious,
no.
just because like
no.
you guys were having. Just one of you dared the other one of you to go fucking do something, and
100%, it got competitive. It got competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
it wasn't even a dare because I hate dares. I'm like, fuck your dares. Shove that shit up your ass. Don't tell me what to do. But if it gets competition, mm-hmm. if we got mm-hmm. a who's going to do this better.
But it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
It's
that's no, for sure.
It's going to be fun, but we're in jail now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it'll be that's something true. Like trespassing. They'll end up in like a hotel pool after
exactly.
hours or something.
Exactly. Yeah. You're skinny dipping in yeah. somebody else's pool. You thought they yeah. were out of town.
Yeah.
They're not.
Mm-hmm. Who? It's not going to be I dare you. It's who can stay in the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Love it.
Something dumb like that. And then, yeah, I'm going to fuck Keira Knightley. I mean,
she's so pretty.
On.
My yeah, my toxic trait is at my big old age now, I still want more than anything to be the ingenue like Keira Knightley.
yeah, right?
I totally do. And that's why I cannot marry her because I'm like, it yeah. wouldn't work. It wouldn't work
no.
because she is the ingenue, but I want to be ingenue. I want to be that so
I do feel like
work.
I would always feel a little inferior because right. she's so beautiful
so
and
pretty.
Like tall and like yeah. you know stunning
yeah. I bet she can take pictures of her vagina
yeah she probably yeah. does have yeah, I yeah. not I, we are going to get a cease and desist from Kira's people
yes.
she's like
yes.
don't speculate
how
on...
fucking dare you don't you fucking dare keep my
but
name
she does
out
she
your
does put off pretty vagina energy yes
mm-hmm.
she does
yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah yeah you can sometimes yeah yeah but I am actually going to marry Luke Evans. Like
I see this for you.
Got a snarkier energy. Yeah. Do you know what I
yes.
mean? Like
yes. I might be a little better than you.
Yeah.
He's a little he's less playful, I think.
Yes.
He's more a little more intensity.
Yes. And
yeah. mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm going to marry him. We'll have talks about I don't know, like some David Mamet thing he's reading or whatever and it'll be fun but then I'm gonna fuck Nathan Fillion because he seems like he fucks well
fun yeah
he fucks good
and yeah. vigor and ooh, vigorously
and yeah
vigorously
he's this not is... doing the ABCs down there he knows what
no.
he's doing
he is,
but he is
he
jumping
his nails.
In he is jumping in with enthusiasm though like mm-hmm. he's yeah. not doing the ABCs but he is eager.
That is so another
he
thing.
He goes down. Nathan Fillion goes down. You can tell.
You can
for
tell
sure.
people that are going down just because they feel like they have to. And then the people mm-hmm. that are like, mm-hmm. if you're not going down
I'm
at
going
all,
down.
Then you're awful. But if you're not going down with enthusiasm, like,
yeah,
No one likes an unenthusiastic head. No one does.
No, no, on either end.
Exactly.
Like for either side. Like, no, no, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you're not in the mood, then this can just be something we do another time. Yeah. But like, I'd rather.
Really need your heart in it. Your whole heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
110%.
I feel like Nathan's going to put his all in.
I agree. You know? Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Agree. Okay.
We're going to race to the finish.
This is hard. This is actually really, really hard.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Because I can see pros and cons to all of it. Because I was going to marry Kira. Like, I was going to marry her, but you're absolutely right. I, you know, we just went to some parties this week, and like being around like really beautiful people, it can be a hard thing.
Oh,
and
Keegan.
She's beautiful.
By those beautiful people, you mean include yourself, well, right?
Thank you. Truly. But Keira Knightley's on a whole nother level. But I, you know what? I still think I'm going to marry her. I still think I'm going to do it. I think I can get over my insecurities. I'll go to therapy. I'll work on it. But I think that her energy, I think it's a little bit of the best of both worlds. She's got, there's a little bit side to her that I've seen in interviews where she can be a little bit more kind of like playful and fun. But she definitely has an Aries intensity. You cannot talk to her any kind of way. I've seen interviews where like reporters have tried to be rude to her and she shuts that shit down quick.
Love it.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And yeah, she's English. I feel like we're going to, you know, move to England, have a good time.
Is it weird to say that she's a really pretty mouth?
No.
That sounds like
she got a pretty mouth.
Boy got pretty mouth.
I know what you are saying though.
Yes.
She has a pretty lip shape.
Yes.
Like, right. Her lip shape is very pretty.
Girl, you got pretty mouth.
And I just think about Pride and Prejudice, and she's so stunning in that movie too. Like, she's so stunning.
My God, could she please introduce me to Tom Wamsgams? Love him.
Matthew McFadden.
Love him.
And this is really difficult because you're going to get two very different kinds of sex out of these two men.
Yes.
Right. And I think it's going to be good either way. Like, I think it's going to be good either way. Like, I think Luke Evans is going to be a little bit more like
rough.
Kind of like rough and ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Nathan and Fillion.
It's my favorite kind of pizza from Little Caesars.
$5. Rough and ready.
And I think Nathan Fillion, like we already said, is going to be like enthusiastic. We're going to have fun. Yeah. It's going to be like enthusiastic. It's going to be
he's
good.
He's going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to know he's going to enjoy it. And that enjoyment will make you enjoy it. See, like,
I'm going to do that. I'm going to fuck Nathan Fillion just because I do think like we're going to have a good time. It's not going to be too serious, which allows you kind of space to play and do some like fun things that maybe like you wouldn't. Do you feel safe to be able to do that with Nathan Fillion? So I'm going to do that. And then like, yeah, exactly.
And also,
he's the type who like in bed afterwards is going to be like on his Pizza Hut app. Like,
I was just going to say that. Exactly. I was like, one of those people. You can order Taco Bell after the fuck fest.
And you're not even getting out of the hotel bed. And after having sex, you are laying in the hotel bed eating Taco Bell, watching fucking.
I feel like Keira Knightley would as well, except you won't want to. She'll be like, would you like any Taco Bell? No, stab me. No.
Or you buy something, that like with Keira Knightley, I'm like, I will eat Taco Bell with you, but I'm going to be so demure about the way I'm eating it because I can't get like lettuce everywhere.
By myself. With fork and knife.
Yeah.
Would you like a taco? Oh, yeah.
But
my
I'm
going to
go. I feel like I want to go ride horses on the English countryside with Luke Evans.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to do with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we got our friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's giving real barren energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for him.
I wonder if his family has like a aristocracy, know, like I'm like you're giving
like
me
an
energy.
Actual baron. I thought you meant like Baron Trump. I was like, why?
Cassie, no,
ew,
absolutely,
it's like
not.
He's a kid,
absolutely not. He's like, also, does he have like giantism or something?
Well, he has two extremely like he's tall parents. That's the thing.
Oh yeah, that's not nice.
I think he's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he's like 6'7", but it's because I think it's genuinely because both of his parents are like tall. Yeah.
Dude, you should have been playing basketball.
People are going to ask him his whole life. It's a real missed opportunity if not.
Oh, God. Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And we're back. Okay. I've got the tainted love this week, so I will kick us off with stories. In middle school, I had a huge crush on the girl who sat in front of me, Emily. Emily and I were actually good friends, but only in secret because she was popular and I wasn't.
Ooh,
that's so middle school. That's so middle school.
I think I had a situation like that. I think
a situationship.
A secret secret friends.
A secret popular friend, or were you the secret popular friend?
Oh, I was definitely not popular. No.
As I got older, I became a bit more popular, thankfully. However, I never saw Emily after middle school, and we never got in touch. In high school, I would rate future dates on a scale of 1 to Emily.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That's the title of the Hallmark movie.
Yes. Oh,
1 to Emily.
Totally.
Fast forward almost 10 years later, I started talking to a girl on Tinder. We chat constantly and share tons of good laughs. We went out on a date and it was amazing. She was everything I wanted in a woman. We even hooked up afterwards. I asked her out on a second date and an even fancier restaurant. Halfway through yet another amazing date, I hear my name called from behind me. I turn around and see my childhood crush, Emily.
Oh my God.
What will he do? This is a Hallmark movie, isn't it?
I know. I think this was an Oscar contender this year. It was called Past Lives.
Past Lives. Emily gives me a hug, and I'm just so blown away to see her. It was as if everything else around me didn't even matter. I invited her to my table, and we chatted and shared times of days in middle school. You are on a date, sir.
Exchange numbers and catch up later.
Later.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That poor girl he's on a date with.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine just sitting there and...
No, I third wheeling good your own you. Date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
She tells me she's single and was waiting on another guy for her date and that he was running late. I asked her instead to come out on a trip I had planned for me and my actual date.
No.
She said, sure. Emily and I spent the whole time talking to each other and sharing stories. My date got third wheeled and she completely bailed when she realized I was trying to hook up with Emily. I didn't realize she had left until hours after.
Wow.
The time she actually did, and it would have gone longer, but Emily pointed out that she wasn't there anymore.
That I tried is calling so her. Sad.
I'm shook.
Fucked up. I'm it's shook. So fucked up. I tried calling her later, but she wouldn't answer.
Why?
No fucking kidding.
Yeah. You're blocked, bro.
Yes.
Yeah. Did your text come up green? Because you got him.
He wasn't blocked because... Later that night, Emily and I hooked up, and during that time, she called back. I went to answer the phone, but Emily took the...
You're
having sex with someone else.
You're
having sex with someone else. You do not pick up the phone.
No.
This guy is canceled. He's so canceled. The Hallmark movie, the deal is off the table.
Done.
Right.
We're on.
So he goes to answer the phone. Emily takes the phone from him because they're having sex.
Hello.
No. So she takes the phone from him, you know, and so he's like, okay, never mind. I guess I don't need to answer the phone. But the phone did answer and was tossed to the side.
So my date heard everything.
She left me a very depressing rant in a text and blocked me. Emily and I dated for 2 weeks after and didn't talk since.
Wow. Well,
I mean, they're both trash. Emily and this guy are trash. Because I'm just like, neither one of you should have third wheeled this poor woman that you were out on this date with.
That poor woman.
Because,
if someone comes up from the childhood, then all you're doing is sitting there listening to stories you have no context for. You don't know any of the people. And it's so, so fucking rude.
No, I mean, and to be honest, like, if she was waiting for her date, so I'm like, if she came over and like said hi, I'd be like, oh, like that's fine. Like you were just waiting for your date to get here. Like you can, you know, have a drink or whatever with us. And then when mm-hmm. your date gets here, we'll go our separate ways. Like if I was the girl on the date, I wouldn't be so thrown off by that. But it's like, you get the fuck out. Yes. Here. Like you don't stick around. You don't yeah. come on the date
also,
with us.
Also,
like,
huh, yeah, exactly. You're right. Emily's
to a second
trash
location?
For staying and like, yeah. fuck, yeah, that's not women supporting women.
No.
For sure.
But,
no,
but
we don't like that.
And in the beginning, he's like, this is my dream woman. Like, our first date went really well. Our second date was going really well. Yeah. And I'm like, you threw all that away to hook up with Emily yep. for 2 weeks and never speak to her again. Well, yep. you done well, fucked up.
Yep.
And you got consequences. You played yourself.
You played yeah. yourself.
You played
sir.
Yourself.
Oh my gosh. People. Similar but different.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry. Okay. All right. So mine's a listener story. They wrote in. They said, this story happened my freshman year of college when I was 18, and the man I went on a date with went to my college and was apparently 22. I say apparently, because after he drops off the face of the planet, I'll get to that, I truly don't know if I knew anything about this man.
Oh, no.
I met this man at his fraternity's party. His frat brothers that I knew didn't know him very well because he was new, but said he seemed cool. He was unbelievably handsome in an all-American way, but
red flag.
Yeah.
Red flag.
We're calling trust it.
Call it out like we see it. But
you're too hot and in an American way, an all-American
no,
way?
No.
No. You can't trust that. No. If you look like you know, threw a football good in high school, we can't date.
You've already peaked, sir. I can't possibly.
Yeah, exactly. No Friday night lights for me. Okay. So he was unbelievably handsome in an all-American way, but probably only an inch or two taller than me at 5'5 or 5'6. I didn't really mind, and he asked to surprise me and take me out on a date.
That actually makes it better for me. Like, yeah. if you're yeah. handsome in an all-American yeah. way, but you're, like, kind of short, then I'm like, oh, okay.
Perfect.
You, yeah. That.
I'm back in. We're back in.
I'm back in. All right.
We're back in. Okay.
No.
You can't be 6 foot in that guy. Fuck that guy.
No. 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 No man had ever taken me on a date before, so I was super pumped. He seemed excited, too, about getting to surprise me. I got all ready, went kind of cute casual with my outfit because he wouldn't mm-hmm. tell me where we were going. And as
red flag that, number two, red flag number it. Two, you got to tell me where we're going.
Flag
unacceptable.
On the play.
But yeah. she's 18. She's 18. I got to remember that as a 30 something. No.
You, yeah. Are we going on a details. Hike? Are we going to mm-hmm. Applebee's? Like these are mm-hmm. two different outfits. The vibe is not mm-hmm. the same, my dude. So, yeah.
Aren't they, though? I mean, couldn't you just wear
well,
like
that's absolutely like, you know, true. You could wear your hiking clothes to Applebee's, yeah. but I mean, you can't wear you. Your. But okay, if we're gonna go chain restaurants, I think you can wear your hiking clothes to Applebee's, but you can't wear your hiking clothes to Olive Garden
to Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
You don't want to get garlic butter on those nice Lululemon.
No athleisure at the Red Lobster. For sure.
No Cheddar Bay biscuits go with a nice button up. Everybody knows that.
Oh my God! So, but as college students, I really wasn't expecting anything super fancy. I didn't wear heels because I didn't want to be taller than him, and he came and picked me up. He was driving a super cool car, so I asked what he did for work or had done before college while we were on the way. He was pretty vague, making it seem like I wouldn't really understand, but it had something to do with buying and selling cars. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You really won't understand. I stole cars.
What? I do crime.
Great, 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 great. Gone in 60 seconds. Cool.
Okay, fine, cool. I don't really need to know. We pull up to the restaurant where we're eating, and I looked up to see, lo and behold, a Buffalo Wild Wings sign.
Nailed it. She nailed it.
So she could have worn athleisure wear is what you're saying. Yes. Like she definitely could have showed up in athletic yoga pants.
And in fact, if you're dressing up more than that at a B-dubs, it's
too much.
You stand out. People turn heads when you come in. It gets real quiet.
Yeah. It's like B-dubs always makes me think of adult Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's lots of bright lights. Yes. There's like a lot of noise, a lot of things happening. And listen, I don't eat meat anymore, but when I ate meat, I loved wings and I loved a good B-dubs day.
Yep.
Like
yep.
when you, B-dub wings is you go up. There at like noon, you get a Bloody Mary, you like order a bunch of different kinds of wings and fries with all the sauces, ranch on the side. Mm-hmm. Like let's fucking go.
Exactly. Yeah. Not what I would love to do for a first date with somebody.
Well, and I'm also like, this had to be a surprise. You had to keep this under wraps?
Wait a second. Like, Chris, one of Chris and I's first dates was we had to be dubs.
And you weren't even 18.
I wasn't. I was like 25. I had a You're child. Like,
that sounds great. Alas, I go in with him and we have a seat. He asks how hungry I am and I tell him I'm pretty hungry. So he orders a burger. And no, he doesn't order burgers for both of us. He orders one burger. When the burger gets there, he cuts it in half and slides me one part. Maybe I'm being silly and this is how normal dates go.
No,
You share one item for both of you because it's romantic.
Isn't Lady and the Tramp. No, we're not fucking doing that. Stop it.
Say that.
And also, you're going, I'm sorry. I'm going to put my foot down here. You're going to Buffalo Wild Wings for a fucking burger?
Right. Burger. Exactly. You are buying me wings. If you are taking me to Buffalo, you're not putting me around chicken wings and not getting them for me.
Right?
Burger.
Honestly.
Their burger. That is not what they're known for. I'll tell you that.
And by one item, close. I mean a well-done burger from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well done.
Woof.
Split between two people. You. At that point, my appetite had gone away because of how weird it was. I eat about a quarter of the burger, and with a mouthful, he asks if he can have the rest. Yep, all yours, buddy. His whole time, he's watching a game on the TV, and we're barely talking. He did graciously pay for our split burger at the end and took me back to our dorm.
Oh, thank you so much. You paid for the burger you ate. You ate most of.
Yeah, three quarters. Thank you so much.
But you know what? That's such a good indicator of what your life with him would be like. Like, you've got a real, what is it, married with children, Al Bundy vibe. Like, he's just going to be sitting on the couch, drinking a beer, watching a football game, ignoring you.
Yeah, yeah. He ends up dropping out of college and no one knows where he's gone. There's lots of rumors that he's actually older than he said, and that he steals cars or jacks with their titles for a living. But who knows? His socials disappear, and I don't hear from him after my freshman year. Mm-hmm. 6 years later, I see this man on Hinge. His bio says he's 5'9 and graduated from our university. I can confidently say neither one of those things are true.
Hope
you all enjoyed. I attached his Hinge for you guys to look at.
Please put it in the chat for us to take a look at it.
Will.
I need to see this.
I will. I will do. Mm-hmm. I would need to know. Mm. Definitely.
Wow.
Thank that you so insane. Much for writing in. A split well-done burger at B-dubs. Super romantic.
And again, listen, if you are going to keep a secret from me, if you are going to make our date a surprise, which again, I don't recommend, especially for a first date with someone you don't know well, at least make the surprise worth it.
The surprise was he wasn't really sure where he wanted to take you until the day of.
The surprise was like, he didn't have a plan. He didn't have a plan. Yeah, that's a surprise.
Yeah, where's the game on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my story is also from a listener. It says, "Hey girls, I found your podcast a few years ago and you have saved me from boredom on my long car rides more than once.
Aww,
thank you for keeping FMK alive and making us all laugh."
Oh, yay. Thank you.
I'm writing to tell you my worst date because I think it is podcast material.
Ooh.
I'm going to take you back to July 2021, online dating during the pandemic. Oof. I was 26 and met this guy. He was 36, an architect. I was ready for my 500 days of summer moment, which we did watch together, which sparked an argument about love.
Oh Jesus Christ.
Red flag. You know what? There you go.
That maybe is something that we should do. Like watch 500 days of summer early on and figure out who he's, who he right. sides with.
Where exactly. are we at? Where are we standing?
That way you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. I got a little enthralled at this older guy who had it together and took care of me. In some ways, he was really sweet. He would always cook me dinner, bring me breakfast in bed, take these cute, candid photos girls would dream of their guys taking. Mm. We were always casual, never had an exclusive talk, and sometimes would go weeks without seeing one another. So one day, I got day drunk with my friend and booty called him at 7 p.m., to which he wasn't available. Mm. And I somehow found myself roped into a kayaking trip the next day.
Ugh.
Oof.
With him or with someone else?
With him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hungover. So he picked kayaking? Me. Ugh. Fuck.
Look, I love kayaking, but I don't want an impromptu kayak trip. Like, I,
well,
you
the
know.
Next day. It's yeah. Then tomorrow. Hey, tomorrow. Let's go kayaking. Okay. Mm. So he picks me up in the morning and we're on our way. The first red flag of the day is that he whipped his dick out at the ripe hour of 8 a.m. for some roadhead. Looking back, I wish I could say I didn't oblige, but I did.
Oh,
I've never given that before. And it seems very unappealing to me on both sides. Like, I think blowjobs are kind of a delicate art. There's teeth involved. Like, I think, and you're on a bumpy road. Mm-hmm, like, I just, mm-hmm. I don't see the appeal. I just don't see the appeal.
I
personally,
I have given, and received uh-huh. things whilst driving. And it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think
it's fine.
A dick in the morning is a delicate thing.
Yeah. An 8 a.m. dick.
Yeah.
I'm hungover. I still have like sleep
kayaking.
In my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I drink coffee probably. So I kind of have coffee breath. And now I'm just like
dick and coffee breath is what you mean.
Yeah. It's just not the way I like to start my day. It's not like a Wheaties. It's not like an overnight oats mm-hmm. situation. I just don't mm-hmm. think like, mm-hmm. I don't need a dick to start my day.
Not for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a good roadhead story, but I'll tell it later.
Yeah. You're like, I'm keeping that shit off my.
I'm gonna put that in my pocket and save it for later. He asked if I wanted to go to this beachy area or to the rope swing. I picked the rope swing. Sounded like a fun time. Mm-hmm. When we get there, they're like 30 high schoolers and us. We're watching.
Oh, no. We're leaving. Watching. We're turning right back around. I don't need the rope swing anymore. Let's go to the beach. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to mm-hmm. hang out. No.
We're watching them go for about 10 to 15 minutes before one of them hands me the rope and asked if I wanted to go. It'd been a while since I had been on a rope swing, so I asked, what do I do? And the high schooler said, just grab on and go. So that's what I did. However, something happened and I never hit the water. Instead, my knee hit the ground somewhere on the way down, which ripped off the rope and tumbled down the rocky hill.
Oh, no.
Into the water.
Also, I have to say this, not only the pain of this situation, but
30
being
high schoolers.
Humiliated in front of high schoolers.
Oh.
Just
oh.
Bury me alive.
Exactly.
No.
I'm going to keep my head underwater. You'll never see
you never yes.
High schoolers are so mean already. Like,
they are so
be
at least it's not
so
junior high
mean.
Kids. That's worse.
True.
Yeah.
Mortified, I stand up and move my hair out of my face and try to have a smooth recovery time.
There's no there's no smooth recovery. There is no. Just own that it was a disaster.
Oh, wait, see my date running down the hill with both hands extended. When he reached me, he grabs my boobs and says, your whole bathing suit is pulled aside.
Oh, no. Tits out. Oh, no.
Dude, and all of this has probably happened before noon, you know, which I'm just like, no, like,
no, you're hungover. You have a bloody ass fucking
I'm going
body
back to bed. I've given
out.
Head already this morning. Like, no,
I forgot about that already.
No,
oh my God. Oh my God.
So now I flash 30 high schoolers. When I look down to fix it, I see blood everywhere. I'm bleeding all down my forearm, elbow, hip, inner thighs, and ankles. I tell him, I'm fine.
There's no saving it. Like, you're just like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
It's fine. I was. It didn't hurt that bad. And as if we could just continue on, the man looked at me.
Take me home.
Wait. The man looked at me, bleeding, embarrassed, and said, do you mind if I take my turn on the rope swing real quick?
He's 36. He's 36 years old.
Architect. An architect. No. He has a big grown-up job.
She is bleeding and just had like the most embarrassing moment of her life. What a fucking piece of shit. Wow. Oh
my God. I'm dead. I'm so deceased.
This is red flag number two. We got back to the kayak. He hands me a jar of wine, and says, I'll drive you from here. Do you want to go back in or ride around for a while?
Look, I got to fucking tell you. Look, you cannot have open wounds and get in a river or a lake.
You're going to get trichinosis? Staph.
Yes. Yeah. No. Go home. Put some of that antibacterial spray on all of your...
all your whole body.
Your whole body.
Yeah. Just take a Bactine bath.
Jesus.
Not wanting to put a damper on the day, considering we had only been out for about 30 minutes, I said, let's just keep going. He took me to a little island where we both drank some wine and hooked up for a little bit. Bloodied.
This man is trash. I'm sorry.
We start to head back to shore. We pull up. I hop out and stand to the side. And he starts to pull the kayak up out of the water. And here's where it gets good. Here's where it gets good.
Oh, my God.
I start to hear a girl yelling. And I turn around to see what the commotion is all about. Right as I hear her yelling, I knew I'd find you here. Insert date's name.
What?
I blacked out a little bit. Pure shock and confusion. I don't remember fully what she was saying, just that she was yelling at him and I'm standing there bleeding. What I do remember is him asking, what are you doing here? And she said, I called your friend blank and he told me you'd be here.
Do you know how much you must have fucked up? To get somebody to come to the river,
yeah.
In the morning,
you know where Chris?
No, like, what did you do?
No, yeah, you got to be big mad.
Yeah,
he told her to leave him alone and walked away to go get to the car and put the kayak up. So now I'm standing here alone with this girl bleeding. I didn't know what to do, so I looked at her and said, "We're just friends," sheepishly.
Oh.
He comes back and he starts yelling, did you take her to the same place as you took me? Oh. At this point, I'm like, okay, I'm not that into him. I'm going to give you a minute. And I walk away.
Baby, you can have him, honey.
And them yell at each other. He starts to whack back over to me. She's following close behind, continuing to yell at him. So this man has one woman screaming at him and another standing off to the side, bleeding and drunk. Considering four hours earlier, this man had whipped his dick out unprompted. I settled nicely into the reality that he was not for me.
Yeah.
Safe to say, this was the last time I saw this guy, and I did not get my 500 days of summer moment. On the bright side, my friend took a photo of me recently, and I noticed that the scars are almost gone. So there's no longer any physical trace of the worst date of my life.
Oh,
he's not for anyone.
God.
He's for the streets. That man is for the streets.
He ain't even for the streets. Man, keep that shit inside your house.
Dude.
Your own house. Alone.
Guys that that do the same dates with multiple women, criminals.
Ew.
We don't like that.
Yeah. Psychopaths. Yeah.
Island sex, bleeding too. Mm-mm. No.
Also, I'm trying to picture this. Like, we've talked about this before as well, but I don't really want to have sex on the beach or like if it's like rocks.
No.
Like this Mm-mm. seems uncomfortable.
I don't really want to have sex outdoors, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I'm at the age now I think I have been for a long time, in which a nice cozy bed.
Yeah.
That's soft, has a little movement. You know, I'm good.
And clean.
I'm good. A couch even maybe. I mean, I'm not for these streets.
I'm willing to be a little adventurous. I don't want sand in places.
Yeah.
Because I always think when I think about like islands, when you're talking about like lake islands or like whatever, it's either sandy or it's rocky. And I'm like, neither one of those sounds good.
No.
You know?
I used to get so
he fucked somebody else there.
Ugh. I used to get so fucking, I wouldn't swim in lakes because touching the bottom of the lake with my foot grossed me out so much. So all I could think of was just that nasty fucking squish mud, lake mud.
Well, I mean, and that's part of it too, like, I don't want to, I get so weird about it too, where I'm like, if we are in the lake, because I love a good lake, I love a good river. I am from like, Missouri is all about floating, man, and I'm into it. However, like, you have to shower before you fuck somebody if you've been in the river or the lake. Like, your dick is coated in whatever was in the lake water, and it is not going in my body.
Which is like,
I'm gonna get sick. No,
many like I don't know what to call it, like protozoas and shit, like amoebas.
Oh, ew.
Oh God,
it's like where this germinated. Shower for your brain. Shower for your brain.
Shower for your brain.
Get out of control. Wow.
Oh, God. Okay. Let's please take a break.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's take five and we'll come back with the tainted love.
Yes.
And we're back. Keegan, don't look at me like that. You know it was my turn to say it.
No, I know. I wasn't fully prepared. I don't know what I was thinking. I like wasn't up on my microphone and then I was starting to panic because I knew I had to talk in a minute, you know?
I thought you were like getting mad. I was like, no, it's my turn. It's me.
No, I would never be mad at you, Cassie. Okay. I have the tainted love this week. So this I first saw on Who the Bleep Did I Marry? Which, by the way, I have to say I hate saying that every single time.
The Bleep?
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, grow up, you know? Yeah. Like, name your show something different.
It's giving pinchy nipples with just thumb and forefinger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But apparently, and I didn't watch this episode of this show, but apparently it is also on, the story is also on Christina's new favorite show, Married with Secrets. So yeah. Okay. And I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I'm just going to jump right in.
Okay.
In the summer of 2001 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Joy Lynn Martinez was recently divorced. She had two young sons and she was really just trying to like start her life over and make ends meet. She was not looking to jump into any kind of relationship or anything. She was just trying to take care of herself. But she was struggling emotionally, as happens, and she had really good friends who didn't like seeing her struggle. She was doing that thing where like she just wasn't leaving the house. She was isolating. So her best friend, Maureen, basically told her that she needed to get up off the couch and go out and have some fun. So
I'm Maureen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So good friend Maureen picks Joylyn up and they head out for a night on the town in Albuquerque. They ended up at a bar that night, and right away, both Maureen and Joylyn could tell that this guy was checking her out. He's like on the other side of the bar. He keeps kind of like looking over at Joylyn, and she's attracted to him immediately. She describes him as being like looking like Ben Affleck. I don't think that he really looks like Ben Affleck, but I would say like he's a Ben Affleck type, maybe, you know, like,
okay.
Like
a Kirkland brand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
Dude, how awkward is it when like your friend's dating someone and be like, oh, and he looks just like this. And you're like, no,
you're like, not
really. No, I'm not seeing that.
So before long, like he's making eyes at her. And before long, he comes over and he buys her a drink and starts chatting her up. His name is Robert Howard Bruce, and he's got three first names.
Serial killer. And we're
serial killer.
And he's super charming and sweet, and the conversation goes so well that to Joylyn's surprise, she gives him her phone number. And she's not really expecting anything to come of this, but she's like, why not? You know, like we're having a good time. He's handsome. He's charming. whatever, you know. Well, he calls her right away, and after that, it is on. It's like 0 to 100. He is all about her. He is showering her with compliments. He's showing up at work with giant bouquets of flowers. He's buying her jewelry and clothes and wine and dining her at expensive restaurants. So like the whole nine yards.
It's too much, too fast.
I'm seeing just the quiet disapproval on Christina and Cassie's faces. Yeah. It's a lot very quickly, right? Like, to me, it's so love bomby because we don't know each other like that yet. Like, but I can also see how it could be flattering, especially if you're coming out of maybe a bad relationship. I can see that.
Yeah.
So,
I am somebody, and I don't know if it's just like my crippling insecurity and lack of confidence that, like, if someone likes me like so much immediately, I'm like, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with you.
Totally. Totally. My kryptonite, though. I'm like, of course you think I'm amazing. I would fall for this.
That's your Aries nature. Is you're like, I deserve this.
This is my whatever trait.
The truth is toxic trait. The truth is like we all deserve this. Like you do deserve somebody who's like super crazy about you and like wants to do nice things for you. It's just suspicious when it happens when they don't really know you like that yet.
Yeah. Right.
Because it feels like they're trying to win you over by buying you things or like, you know, or like blindsiding, like blinding you with like shiny stuff, you know, which I don't trust. So he is also 12 years older than her and he seemed to have his shit together. So she's very attracted to that like.
Is he an architect?
Yes. No, he's not. He's in sales, but he, I don't know. She doesn't really talk about what her relationship, her previous relationship was like. But if I had to guess based on this, the beginning of their relationship, her relationship with Howard, because he goes by Howard, it would be that she was maybe with somebody who did not have their shit together before. Like, you know, like maybe someone who was like kind of insecure. And so this is all very appealing to her that he can afford to take her out. He's got a good job. And he's really into her. He loves spoiling her. And she's like, all right, I'm getting my groove back. So not only is she kind of head over heels for this guy, but he's also got 3 kids of his own from a previous marriage that he absolutely adores. He seems to be a really good dad. His kids live in Colorado and he lives in New Mexico, but he goes there every other weekend to spend the weekends with his kids.
That's a long drive.
It's about a 6-hour drive. Yeah.
Holy shit. And he does 12 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every other weekend. But to her, that's, again, that's really appealing. Like he takes his commitments to his kids seriously. And like he seems to be very devoted. He takes them fishing and hiking and everything. And she has 2 boys of her own. So, and she's raising them independently. So the fact that he seems to be a good dad is a green flag to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of that, you know, when in the spring of the next year, Howard decides to relocate to Pueblo, Colorado, again, about a 6-hour drive away, to be closer to his children, Joylyn fully supports that decision. And
agrees. What are you going to do? Be like, no, can't do it.
Well, I mean, I can see how like you'd be like, oh, well, maybe like support him being with his kids, but be like, I don't want to continue a relationship long distance, you know, but she agrees to continue the relationship long distance. So because he had his kids every other weekend, on the weekend he didn't have his kids, he would drive to New Mexico to see her. So he's still driving.
Still doing it.
Every other weekend.
Jeez. A lot of podcasts, my dude.
A lot. Yes. Yeah. Some books on tape.
Yep.
But when he did come to visit, he was like a life of the party type of guy. All of Joylyn's friends really loved him. They would go out dancing and drinking and just really seemed to be enjoying this phase of their life together. The one dark cloud that seemed to be starting to like creep over the relationship and also Joylyn's life was that the way that they would hang out is they'd go out to bars and clubs and stuff and hang out with her friends. And she started experiencing blackouts when they would go out. And this was becoming like a really consistent thing when in the past it like hadn't been. So of course she brings up these concerns with Howard and he basically tells her like, I think you're fine. You don't have anything to worry about. Like you just didn't eat enough today. Like that's why you're blacking out. Right.
I don't like that.
it's happening to the point where she's starting to feel like something might be really wrong. So she actually goes to the doctor. Like she goes to the doctor, and the doctor kind of dismisses her concerns and tells her like, she's well, the doctor basically says, yeah,
I can't believe it.
Was a guy, by the way, but the doctor did tell her like, oh, it's just because you're getting older. Like you can't handle your liquor as well. Like that's all it is. Don't worry about it. So shady advice, but after dating for about 2 years in 2003, Howard proposes to Joy Lynn. She accepts and the couple gets married in a private ceremony at a waterfall in Hawaii. And at this point, Joy Lynn is really like blissfully happy. Howard is handsome. He's financially stable. He's good to her sons, just like everything that she could ask for in a husband. And so she's over the moon, excited to start this new life with this man, especially coming off of the heartbreak of her divorce. When the couple returns home after the wedding, they agreed that it would be best to maintain their long-distance relationship with him in Colorado and her in New Mexico until her kids get out of school for the year. She doesn't want to pull the kids out in the middle of the year. So Joy Lynn had always wanted to go back to school to pursue her dream of becoming a teacher, but had never had the financial freedom to be able to do that. So Howard tells her, like, he's like, I want you to quit when you do move up here to Colorado. Like, I want you to quit your job and I will send you to school. I'll handle things financially so that you can get your education.
Wow.
And so she thinks she's really, really lucky, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After being married for about a year, things still seem to be going well for the couple, and she joins Howard in Colorado with her kids. Even though this is a difficult move for Joy Lynn, she's spent her entire life in Albuquerque. Her entire family is in Albuquerque. Like, you know, this is a big...
Her friends. She's losing her support system.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when Joy Lynn and the kids arrive, Howard's behavior takes a drastic turn. He's irritable. He's aggressive. He's constantly throwing it in her face that he's taking care of her and the boys financially, even though he's the one who told her to quit her job.
Oh, I hate that.
And yes. And he's just saying really terrible things to her, which was never his MO before. Like, he always showered her with love and compliments. And so this is a real turn for her. Like, she's not experienced.
Maybe we're a distance relationship type of couple.
Mm-hmm. So basically, she describes it as he's making her feel like she's an inconvenience to the life that he was leading before she moved there. And in addition to just like kind of being an all around prick to her, he also went back on his promise to send her to school. He's like, I can't afford it. Can't afford to do it. So because not only can he not afford to do it, he basically indicates that he can't afford to do it because of the financial strain of having to support her and her kids, which is just really shitty. So here she is. She's uprooted her whole life. Everything she's known, quit her job, only to end up in Pueblo with no support and a husband that is really emotionally withholding and distant. So it all became like too much for Joy Lynn. And in the summer of 2005, she decided to leave Howard and move her kids back to Albuquerque. She wasn't ending the marriage, but she needed time away and the support of her family to help her get her head right about what she wanted in terms of her relationship with Howard. Mm-hmm. So as soon as she moves away, he goes right back to this like love bomb behavior, apologizing, taking her out to fancy restaurants, swearing that if she just moves back, things will be different. He'll put her to school, like through school, like he promised, like all of this stuff. So in the fall of that year,
I don't know. Do you trust that though? You know what
no,
I mean?
Me? A little bit.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But in the fall of that year, she does agree to move back, only to find that his controlling behavior is even more extreme than ever. He monitors what she's doing and he calls her obsessively to the point where her friends, even the ones who liked Howard previously, are beginning to feel uneasy. Like Maureen from earlier in the story was like, if she ever went out, he would call her like over and over and over, text her over and over and over, right?
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At one point, Joy Lynn is driving Howard's car and drops something. And when she reaches under the seat for it, she like feels something under there and she pulls out a ski mask, a knife, and a pair of gloves.
No, ooh, thank you.
Now,
nope.
Listen.
I'm leaving immediately if I find that. I'm sorry. That's so scary to me.
It is to me too, you know, and I, because there's part of me that I always kind of like do this like benefit of the doubt thing where like, because my car, a nightmare. I clean it out, what, twice a year.
Is there a ski mask in there?
There sure isn't. There sure isn't. Might be a pair of gloves in there though. But
is there
like,
a knife?
But so yeah, I mean, but it's the three things.
You didn't
all
say
together.
No. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, I like to keep people on their toes. That way they know not to mess with me. So
there you go.
I won't answer the question. No, I don't have a knife in my car. But
that you know of.
That you know of. But her intuition, she's just like this, having those three items together under the front seat.
Right.
You know, it freaks her out. So she takes the items. She waits. She confronts Howard as soon as he gets home. And when she asks what these items were doing in his car, he seems to have an answer for everything. He's like, well, the knives are like I bought pocket knives for the boys. And that's one of their pocket knives. It just ended up in the car. The ski mask. He's like, I don't wear it like a ski mask. I wear it like a hat. Like I roll the front part up. Like, and so that's why it's in the car, because I wear it when I'm driving. And the gloves are just gardening gloves. Like nothing to be worried about.
In you know? The car where you garden.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know. Well, you know, the gloves are the only thing that I'm like, yeah, I could have bought gloves and maybe taken them off and put them in the car or something. But I'm like, you know what gardening gloves look like too. Like, you know, and like, you know, if they're covered in soil, like, you know.
Or blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I think that is incredibly dangerous to confront somebody that has those three items in the front seat of under the front seat of their car. I just think if you have suspicions of what are these doing here, just leave.
Keep it inside.
Yep. Yeah. But I think it's kind of classic abuser, like the abusive cycle where she doesn't want to believe these things. Not really. So she confronts him because there's something going on with her intuition. But when he explains everything away, he kind of convinces her that she's being ridiculous. Like he's like, oh, you know, like you're being ridiculous. Like there's a reasonable explanation for why all these things are in my car. So you just need to let this go. And so she does. She lets it go. But their relationship just seemed to be getting worse and worse. And in May of 2006, Howard gets a new job and Joy Lynn finds the benefits packet from the new employer because she wants to figure out like what their benefits package is like. And while she's flipping through the packet, she finds a list of women's names and addresses from all over the country, like all the places that Howard has traveled as a sales rep. And so at this point, Joy Lynn is convinced that her husband is a serial cheater and that he has a girlfriend in every town that he's been to. Right. So she calls him right away. She confronts him right away. His immediate response is anger that she's snooping through his stuff, which I'm like, it's a benefits package.
Right. And you're married.
Right. It's not like she's not snooping through your stuff. Like that's such a fucking whatever. But then he quickly pivots to tell her that the list is not what she thinks. It's an old list. He doesn't even remember what it's for. Just like blah, blah, blah. So she's not buying it and she's intent on moving back to Albuquerque at this point. But it's been a really rocky and tumultuous few years for her sons. They've gone through their parents divorcing. They've moved back and forth from Pueblo to Albuquerque several times now. And she's like, I'm not taking them out of school. Like, so we're just going to power through at least until they're out of school. Right. So not long after this, Joy Lynn is going through some of Howard's videotapes. And she puts one in and she watches one of the tapes. She finds a video that Howard had taken of the two of them. In the video, Joy Lynn is completely passed out. So trigger warning for sexual assault.
Yeah.
Joy Lynn is completely passed out and unconscious. And Howard is raping her, essentially.
Jesus
because she's
Christ.
Not awake to consent. So Joy Lynn is horrified by this. She's disgusted by this. Of course, she feels sick to her stomach. Like this is a man that this is her husband. Like this is a man she's trusted. She's loved. She's feels completely violated because she was completely violated.
Yeah.
So she calls him right away. Again, she's completely hysterical, but much to her surprise, he basically laughs it off. He's like, he's asking her if watching the tape turned her on.
Oh.
He's telling her that like when she starts to like protest with him, like he starts basically telling her that she needs to lighten up. They were both really just drunk that night. She didn't do anything she wouldn't normally do. So like you need to calm down.
This is awful. Basically.
Yeah.
Calm down. Yes. Wow.
Like it was just fun. You need to calm down. But she is sickened by this. And this really is the last straw. Like this is the last straw for her. She hangs up the phone. She's done at this point. So she packs her bags and her kids and she takes off back to Albuquerque. So she moves back in with her parents and tries to just pick up the pieces of her life. She can't afford a divorce. So she's stuck in this awful holding pattern until something can change.
Mm-hmm.
So she's super heartbroken and life is really difficult. So when about a year after she leaves Howard, her grandmother, who she's extremely close with, dies suddenly and unexpectedly, she's super devastated by this. It's just one thing after another after another. So she's sunk into like a really deep depression. Of course, what do abusers do as soon as they see an opening in your life? As soon as Howard hears about her grandmother's passing, he's back again. He's calling, he's texting, he's sending flowers and gifts. And she's heartbroken. She's lonely. Eventually, he manages to wear her down. And while she doesn't agree to go back to living together, she decides to put the plans of divorce on hold and they resume a long distance relationship. Things seem to be going okay until sometime the following year while doing Howard's laundry. Joy Lynn finds a letter from an attorney detailing court dates that Howard needs to appear at for a Peeping Tom case.
Oof.
When she confronts him.
That's not good.
Mm-hmm. So she confronts him about this again. And he tells her, he's like, oh, it's just a big misunderstanding. I was working late in the office one night and I went for a walk after a couple of beers, which I'm like, in the office, you were having beer, whatever. And I needed to pee. So I went behind a bush and pulled it out to go pee and whoopsie daisy got arrested. So this is the what he's telling her. About 2 months later, Joy Lynn opens the newspaper in search of the crossword. She's like, I want to do a quick crossword puzzle. When a headline catches her eye, it says, cops back on the trail of the Ether Man rapist. So something about it piques her interest and she's reading and she starts to get this like sinking cold feeling.
She'd never heard
about the Ether Man rapist, but it turns out that this was Albuquerque's most prolific serial rapist who had been terrorizing women throughout the city since the early 1990s. So his MO was to stalk women, mostly on college campuses, find out where they lived, and then in the middle of the night, break into their homes, incapacitate them with some form of chemical, which is why he was called the Ether Man rapist, before raping them in their beds. Horrifying. Stuff of nightmares, truly.
Truly.
Yeah. So he operated, the Ether Man rapist operated over about a 19-year period. And police were able to link at least 19 rapes in Albuquerque and one in Pueblo, Colorado. So police had connected DNA from these crime scenes, but had nothing to compare it to. And eventually the cases kind of ran dry, though police would report on the case every now and then in hopes that someone would eventually come forward with information. The article went on to explain that in addition to the rapes in Albuquerque and Pueblo, there was an attack in Austin in May of 2006 that was suspected to have been committed by the Ether Man. At that point, Joy Lynn's sneaking suspicions turned to full-on dread because she realized that Howard had been in Austin that month and the dates of the other rapes in Albuquerque and Pueblo were all dates when he was in either city, respectively.
They lined up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because of this and Howard's behavior during the marriage, she just was putting the pieces together and was like, I think that this is, you know, I think that he is the Ether Man rapist. So she thought back to that list of women's names and addresses that she'd found. And now she was wondering if that was not a list of women that he was cheating with. It was a list of victims or potential victims that he kept track of where they lived.
Terrifying.
So she wrote down the numbers for the number for the Crime Stoppers tip line with the intention of calling. But, you know, she was doing that whole thing where she's like, maybe I'm wrong. Like she looked at the picture of the police sketch. She's like, it doesn't really look like him. Like maybe I'm just being super paranoid. And he was coming.
Be easily resolved with a quick DNA test.
Yep.
So she was like, he's coming for a visit in a few days. Like, maybe I'll just wait until after this visit. So he came. She felt uneasy the entire time. She's like, every time he touched me, it made my skin crawl. When he went back to Colorado, her mind was made up. She's like, I believe that this guy is the Ether Man rapist. And she decided to end their marriage before moving forward with turning him in. She's going to tell him, like, it's over. So when she calls Howard to tell him that she wanted out and it was for good this time, he didn't pick up and she continues to call. He's not picking up. This is very unusual behavior because he usually picks up right away. So eventually she calls Howard's son, who explains that police suspect that Howard has done something really bad and the son is at the police department talking to the cops. So Joy Lynn, of course, suspects that this is in connection with the rapes. So she is stunned to hear that he is actually suspected in connection with an attempted murder of a Pueblo police officer, and Howard is nowhere to be found. They cannot find him.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. So the officer's home had been obviously intentionally rigged with propane in an attempt to blow up the house.
Holy shit.
When asked who he thought could have done it, he did not hesitate. He's like, I think that it was this guy, Howard Bruce. This officer was the one who had arrested him on the Peeping Tom case, and he was due to testify in that case that day. So he's like, this is who did it, you know? So Eventually police are able to track Howard down. He's high on drugs and passed out in the front seat of his car on the side of the road. In the back seat, they found impressions from a propane cylinder that matched the ones in the officer's home. And Howard was arrested.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
He was arrested on 3 counts of criminal attempt to commit first degree murder, intimidation of a witness, possession of an incendiary device, and third degree criminal trespassing. 3 days later, police show up at Joylyn's door in Albuquerque. And she immediately tells them, she's like, I think my husband is the Ether Man rapist. And it was actually Joy Lynn's statement that allowed investigators to get a warrant for Howard's DNA. And a few weeks later, a positive link was made between his DNA and the Ether Man rapist. In July of 2010, Howard was convicted in the Peeping Tom case. The following year, he went on trial on the attempted murder charge, and Joy Lynn was asked to testify against Howard as a character witness. When she looked at him from the witness stand, he smiled, winked, and blew her a kiss.
Ugh.
Ugh. Sir, please
disgusting.
Don't.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Please don't.
In August of 2011, he was convicted in that case and sentenced to 64 years. The following month, he received an additional 30 years when he pled guilty to a criminal attempt to commit sexual assault and burglary in another Colorado case.
Jesus.
For the rapes in New Mexico, he was sentenced to 156 years. After his DNA was added to the national database, he was linked to rapes and sexual assaults in Norman, Oklahoma, that spanned from 1985 to 2006.
Holy shit.
He pleaded guilty and or no contest to 19 felony counts that included first degree rape, sexual battery, sodomy, and first degree burglary. He received 177 years in those cases.
Good.
Obviously,
Lord.
He will spend the rest of his life in prison.
Let's hope.
That is one thing. Like, it's at least he actually got real fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real time.
But yeah. I also think that just like, you know, for all of his victims, obviously, like the fucking horrendous trauma and everything like they have to deal with for the rest of their life. I also think Joy Lynn, like the trauma that'd be like, oh, my God, like, how did I not see this? Like, how can I, you know, that's got to be a fucking lot to unpack.
Yeah. A complete mind fuck.
Deal with. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she says that she remains optimistic about life in general. Like, she's like, I'm not going to give up on life. I'm not going to let him win. You know, I'm not going to let him have worn me down. But obviously, she's extremely cautious with people now. She doesn't really trust anyone now. And I can't imagine being in another relationship. Like, I would be so scared to ever be in another relationship. I'd be like, nope, you know what? I'm good. I'll just be alone because I can't.
I'll just not.
How can you ever trust anybody again? I mean, because she's a victim too. I mean, he was drugging her regularly, like all those blackouts she was having, like, you know, like truly monster behavior. And I just can't imagine being in a relationship with someone for years and years, having them around my kids, knowing that the entire time you were together. And that's why his behavior shifted so drastically when she was living in the house with him, I'm sure, because he wasn't able to just go do what he really wanted to be doing during that time. So,
oh my God. I can't believe I'd never heard that story.
I hadn't either. And you know, like my family is from Albuquerque. So
I know, right?
I'm shocked that that wasn't something that I'd ever known about.
Mm.
And like so many places like Austin, Pueblo, Colorado, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Norman, Oklahoma, like where else? He had a job that took him, like, honestly, they've got to be running his DNA through the database in every state that his job took him to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And beyond, honestly.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. That's terrifying, man.
Sorry.
I guess the lesson to learn though is trust your gut and
trust your
honestly,
instincts.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard though, too, when you take a chance on love, like she did, to like move away from her support system and stuff. And when you're all alone, when you're isolated like that, it's so difficult to believe them, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so counter to who you've grown to believe that this person is. I mean, that's why abusers love bomb in the beginning, because they want you to have all those positive memories so that you know, whenever you're questioning things and people are telling you things, you're like, no, but we have all these good times.
Not that bad.
But you know, we have all this good stuff
you
that I can point to, but he really loves me, you know, like, and then it makes it really hard to be able to set that stuff aside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. Mm. Well, what are you guys watching this week?
Well, I did watch The Holdovers. I loved it. I really, really did like it. I watched it and I had that feeling of, yeah, they don't really make movies like this anymore. Like it has that feeling like of like a 90s kind of feel good movie with a lesson, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like that. Yeah, it was really nice.
Legend of Badger Vance.
No, and I love, and I cannot think of the woman's name right now, but she won an Oscar, I believe.
Divine.
She
I think
it's
her first name.
So
I can't remember her last name.
Good.
Incredible
she
in that movie.
She is incredible. Just
so
chills.
Good. She, it was well deserved, you know, because she had some stiff competition in that category. And I had not seen the movie when I watched the Oscars, so I didn't know, but she earned that Oscar. She did a really good job.
Yeah.
I have been continuing my, Grey's Anatomy train. And honestly, that's really it. I tried to rewatch Bridgerton because I'm like, the new season's going to be coming out soon. Mm-hmm. And I was so tired the other day. I turned it on and I fell asleep.
Night, night.
I totally did. I was my brain was like, you've seen this one already.
I may actually put that on tomorrow. I have the day off to myself because of He Is Risen. So, so yeah, I might do that.
Amen.
Amen.
Zombie Jesus.
Zombie Jesus Day. I haven't watched anything this week. I was busy at Podcast Movement. I have not.
Actually, I was in your hotel with you, and definitely we had Swamp People or whatever that show is.
Okay,
on the History Channel and Pawn Stars. Wow.
I would like to explain myself before anybody gets any
would
kind
you?
Of idea.
Please do.
When I'm in a hotel room, I get freaked out unless I have the television on the entire time. Most of the time I'm scrolling on TikToks or I'm doing other things or I'm even working, but I fucking hate being in a silent hotel room. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, I get really nervous. I get uncomfortable. So, yes, the television was on. There were like 10 channels to choose from. I put it on the History Channel which, as we all know, is a fever dream these days. Yes, you get
was absolutely bananas. I was there working because I was still working. So I was like working in her hotel room. And every now and again, I would just catch something from the TV and it'd be like Python Madness on Swamp People. And I'm like, what is going on?
It really
Why?
Is. It really is like that. But, oh my God.
But with Storage Wars on, because I went on a real jag of Storage Wars.
Not this time. It wasn't on this go around, but
no,
you know.
No, it was a lot of Pawn Stars. So people were like, I've got Jimi Hendrix handkerchief. I want $150,000.
They're like, we'll give you $10 for it.
Yes. So they're like, so. No, no, sir.
Oh my God.
My favorite, I will tell you. So you, I think Christina, you a while back had turned us on to the show, the Repair Shop.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Love that show.
So for some reason on my Fire Stick TV, there is an entire Repair Top Shop channel that I turn on for Rose when I leave for work.
Oh, perfect. It's dog. It's brilliant. At Home Alone TV. Perfect.
And then it's perfect Sunday TV too. Like you just want something on in the background. Maybe you're cleaning.
Love
Can't
it.
Get enough of it.
Oh my God. When they did that childhood bear, when they repaired
the teddy
bear.
Oh my lives God. Forever in my brain. Yeah.
Well, if you guys have something that we should watch, if you have a terrible date story, if you just want to say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywordstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.